Matthew's Gospel 28. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 28. Man on a mission. Man on a mission. Right? Man on a mission. What is it about a man? What is it about the mission? Right? He says in verse 18, Matthew's Gospel 28, verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. We said the word the power is the word authority. It says, it's given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now, we said that when you look through scriptures, fundamentally from Genesis, you realize that the use of heaven and earth is a biblical language to speak about what? The temple. Have we said that before? Yeah, to speak about the temple, right? So heaven and earth in the real sense will be used as a biblical language to speak about the temple. Now, the question will be, what exactly does that mean? So the heaven there will much more speak about the supernatural or spiritual world. I hope you know that there's a world in this world, right? There's a world in this world. There's a supernatural world in this world. Is that correct? Yeah? Beyond the world that your physical eyes can see is another world. I go together. You see, as believers, don't get yourself in a place where you despise that reality. It's a reality, right? So there's a supernatural world and there's physical world. There's a world that your eyes can see, and there's a world that your eyes can't see. So when the Bible uses the word heaven and earth, your mind should go to the plate, to the fact that it's speaking about the physically seen, right, and the spiritually seen. Is that correct? Yeah, so heaven and earth will speak about the supernatural, the invisible, so to say, right? And I mean invisible to your physical eyes, right? So what it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Now, so what will that speak about? So it means heaven and earth will be the house where spiritual and the physical will meet. Our together, right? So when we say heaven on earth, what are we saying? The spiritual, the supernatural, amongst the activities of the physical. All together, right? There is the spiritual, there is the supernatural, and there is a world that comes with it. So when you say an all power, that's what authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. It's talking about a particular reality. So it's heaven and earth. And another word again we said we can use for Bible language to explain that is the temple, right? What's the temple about? The temple is really about a place where the supernatural and the physical will meet. All together, the supernatural and the physical will meet. Right? So that's a Bible word. So what did he say in verse 19? He says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Right? He says, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Now, if you look through Acts of the Apostles. Acts of the Apostles. Look at Acts of the Apostles, look at chapter 1, verse 1. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 1. It says, the former Trites have I made of Theophilus, right? So when you see the former Trites, right, your mind should go to the book of Luke. The author of the book of Acts is who? Luke. Are we together? So Luke wrote the book of Acts, and Luke wrote the book of Luke. Are we together? So who did Luke write the book of Acts to? Theophilus. Who did he write the book of Luke to? Theophilus, how do you know? Go to Luke. Matthew, Mark, Luke. Go to Matthew, Mark, Luke. Look at verse 3. Luke 1:3. It says, it seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things, from the very first, to what? To write unto thee in order, most excellent Theophilus. Right, so who was Luke addressing in the book of Luke? Theophilus. Okay, go to Acts. Okay, go to Acts chapter 1. Right, so look at Acts chapter 1. It says, the former Trites have I made, oh, what? Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach. Until the day in which he was taken up after he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Let's read verse 3 together. 1, 2, 3. To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So what was Jesus speaking about? Things pertaining to the kingdom of God. How many days was he speaking about that? For 40 days, right? Yeah, so for 40 days, Jesus was speaking. Can we say Jesus was teaching? Right? So Jesus was speaking. Who is writing? Luke is writing. Altogether, right? So what were the extracurricular activities that the disciples had in Acts chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3? What were the extracurricular activities that they had in chapter 1, verse 1, 2, 3? What was the activity of Acts 1, 1, 2, 3? Teaching. Extracurricular activity. Huh? Let's assume there is. What will it be? Teaching. You get that? Yeah? So what was Jesus doing for 40 days? Teaching. So he was teaching back to back. Why was he teaching back to back? Because Jesus has a mission in the earth. Are we together? Jesus has a mission in the earth. So you see that for Jesus to be able to teach for 40 days, it means that it was a serious thing. You know what it is to gather? Anything that makes you gather people for 40 days and you're talking every day for 40 days, it's serious. Altogether. Anything that makes you gather people for 40 days and people are coming for 40 days back to back, anything you are saying is serious. Right? So Jesus gathered people for 40 days and he was teaching them back to back for 40 days. Right? And he was teaching them things pertaining to the kingdom. Are we together, right? So when you now look at Matthew's Gospel 28, it says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Verse 18, it now says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Right? What you see from there is a summary of 40 days teaching. Are we together? So if you know, you can have a meeting, right, and summarize the meeting. Right? I heard, I'm trying to find out. I'm already finding out, yeah? There are things called, something called ChatGPT. Is that correct? Yeah, and there's something called, you're laughing, he's too good to be true. That's how I'm finding out too, right? Yeah, there's something called ChatGPT. There's the new one now called Co-what? Yeah, you know, when you come to church, you learn. Right? So this one too is amazing, right? Co-pilot means it pilots with you in a meeting. And when it finishes the meeting, it gives you a summary. Are we together, right? Yeah, so the way life is going right now, yeah, you will just join a meeting and be saying, once they just call your name, Joshua, just say, yes, I'm here. How are you? Noted. Yeah, when you finish, what will happen? They re-pilot. You know, you are the co. Right? You are the co. The re-pilot will summarize the notes. Then you as the pilot will now send. Yeah, but what am I trying to say? I'm saying that in real sense, you can summarize certain meetings. I say this is the action point from the meeting. So when you summarize Jesus' 14 days teaching, it means that it's steered towards the direction of going into the world. Are we together? So if they say, what is the summative summary of the entire 40 days teaching? It is going to the world. So it means that every church, every meeting we have as believers, every teaching meeting we have should eventually gear us into what? Going into the world. Are we together? Right? So if Jesus can teach for 40 days, and we are teaching for 40 days. An average Christian goes to church maybe in a good year, maybe 40 to 50 times. Yeah, let's assume you miss midweek service. So on Sundays, 52 Sundays, right? So in 40 services, right, not back to back, but each of the services should gear you towards what? Going into the world. So what is your primary purpose on the earth? It is going into the world, right? So when we come to church, what are we to learn about? Going into the world. So when you finish teaching in a local assembly, in a local church, right? And what, imagine I finish teaching, I will say, glory, everybody rejoice and shout all around, right? And what that steered you to do is to go and start up a new business. It's either you might not have listened well, right? Or have not done a good job as a pastor. All together. Now, that does not mean that you can be in a believer's meeting and someone gives a direction to you about starting a business. But I hope you know, yeah? You cannot be in a believer's meeting, in a local church where a believer's meeting is done and the teaching is done, and of everything, the primary thing you took from the meeting is to go and start a business. No. You can get clarity in a believer's meeting. Oh, that which you've paused, continue. That which you want to start it. Yeah, you will experience favor. You can have all of those things said in the meetings, right? But your primary assignment is about going into the world. So Jesus says, go into all the world and teach all nations. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. If you look through scriptures properly, you'll find out that, you know, the one, perhaps the only place where you'll find name of Father, name of Son, name of the Holy Spirit is Matthew's Gospel 28. How together? How many of us grew up doing this? Name of Father, name of Son, name of what? This one is Holy Spirit. Then this one is fire. How together? Yeah, how did you speak to Holy Spirit into two words? Name of Father, name of Son, supposed to be name of Father, name of Son, name of Holy Spirit. Amen. The cross. Okay, amen. Then hallelujah. right? You know, but in the real sense, what you find out across scriptures is that what we see is the name of the Son, right? And if you ask to have an understanding of the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost, it needs to be found within the confines of the work of the Son, right? So he says, go into the world and teach all nations, baptizing them. You know, that's another scripture that makes people think about water baptism, right? I've had people reach out to me. I've had several people reach out to me, right? In fact, recently, someone still reached out to me. What's my thought about baptism? Right, and a lot of times my answer is one of the things you will learn while growing up, I'm learning as I'm growing up, is that there are a lot of times there are some topics you don't venture into because a lot of times people that are asking are not really interested in your answer altogether. A lot of times people are not interested in your answer. A lot of times people just want to hear what you have to say, or people are looking for who to use and shine. You understand? An average person is just looking for, let me hear what you say. What do you want to say? Right? Because to a very large extent, when it comes to doctrine, you know that your convictions and persuasions are not built overnight. They are built over the years. Altogether. And that's why sometimes you have to be very patient with people, right? In gospel, why do we repeat a lot? Why do we say the same thing over and over? Because I know what it takes to unlearn something you've learned for 10 years. Altogether. It's not easy. It's not easy, right? You learn a way, you know, when we're growing up in school, they will say culture is the way of life of people. Right, is that correct? Yeah. So imagine a cultural practice you've learned over time, right? You can't afford to think that thing can be broken down or can be dismantled by one teaching. So that's why a lot of times in church, as a pastor, right, even you all as disciples, when you have disciples, yeah, don't always just think that the fact that people are saying, okay, yes, yeah, oh yeah, we are following, that means they are learning or they are understanding. No. Sometimes nodding just really means I'm here with you. Is that together? Are we together? Right, you know, I remember the first. I didn't know this, especially in the environment we find ourselves. I didn't know the first time I had a meeting. So I finished talking, and the person that was on the other side of the call was really just nodding his head. So I thought I was making sense. Until when I saw the feedback from that call, like, you know, you just shocked, like, I thought you're nodding. Okay. And I had to learn that nodding means I am here. Nodding does not mean I agree. So you cannot nod only to say I disagree. Are we together? So when you have a disciple, you have in local church, as a pastor, right? You're not just always looking at that. So it's good to have the facial expression and have the body language and say, right, and respond. But the truth remains that when you look through the practice of unlearning, it's very complex. Are we together? Right? There's certain things that you would know. You know, there's some things you know. It's just like your name. It's just like 5 plus 5. You know what 5 plus 5 is? It's 10. But no one can come and tell you that 5 plus 5 is not 10. You know, the first thing you want to do is to, are you trying to make me a fool? Because I've lived for 30 years and I believe 5 plus 5 is 10. But the person just says in base 2, it changes everything. Yeah, the base changes it. Okay, you don't understand what base is? Sorry. Just leave it like that. Right? Yeah, but 5 plus 5 is not always 10. Out together, just leave the answer that way. Right? So imagine you have a child, for instance, who has, you gave birth to the child, you took care of the child grew up. Only for the child to go to school and come back and tell you, Mom, I hope you know that 5 plus 5 is not 10. Yeah? You will not say, Yeah? And you know, he or she could prove to you that it's not 10 in a different base. It's possible you've never even heard that numbers can be in different base. The first thing first, that they even know that numbers can be in different ways. But I'm trying to say, do you know how difficult it is to accept that from that kind of person? Yeah, that is why, you see, when you're preaching God's word, right, a lot of times you have to be very patient. You have to be very calm as well, right? Yeah, you have to be very calm. I'm learning to be calmer, right? Where I am right now is not where I was 10 years ago, 5 years ago. It just really means I'm growing. How it together. Someone heard me say something recently. I said, but you didn't say it this way a few years ago. He said, are you not happy for me? At least I'm growing. Yeah? There are some things you would have said 5-10 years ago, some things you shouldn't say it again, right? But what I'm trying to say is that you will learn the art of patience, repeating the same thing over and over and over again, right? It's just like you growing up, and your knowledge about heaven and earth is the sky and where you're standing. You know, an average person feels that way, yeah? And when you read through the Bible, you're thinking about the sky, thinking about where you're standing. Right, and I told you, for instance, like the boy who got on the plane for the first time and was looking through the window and was asking his father, I thought he said God is in heaven. And he said heaven is above. And you always point to the heavens as the blue sky. So we're in the blue sky. Where is God? Right? What did he say? Yeah, the father said he's upper, upper. All right, until that man finds himself in a place where they want to use a rocket or a jet, right, a space jet, for instance, to take him way beyond the earth, right? You know, when he goes there, you still ask the same question, right? So, what am I saying to you? I'm saying when it comes to Bible interpretation, you need a lot of time. I hope you know that a lot of things you would have experienced in the 40 days teaching of Jesus in Acts chapter 1 will deal with a lot of things said over and over again. Yeah? A lot of things will be said. In fact, for that conclusion to be reached about going into the world, it means that a lot of things were repeated. Altogether. So the Bible says that until the day which was taken up, it says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion, verse 3, by many infallible proofs, being seen of them for 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So if you go back to Matthew's Gospel 28. But the CJ, please, if you can help me turn off this rear light on the tab, please. Thank you. I've seen men as trees. They like it. Okay, you've experienced it. Okay, you led prayer. Like, I'm not seeing you people. And that's just... let's go ahead. Yeah? Matthew 28, is that correct? So I think it's just the rare at the base. Thank you. And now I'm home. Matthew 28, it says, go ye therefore into the world and teach all nations. Right? It says, go into the world and teach. We said the word there, teach, means to what? To make disciples. Are we together? To train people. The word there, teach, is the Greek word machiteo. I'll spell that for you. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. Matichuo, Matichuo. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-U-O. And it's a word that means or deals with training people. It's used for showing people examples, you know, by people and by precepts, right? Used for showing people examples, for training people, right? Yeah, so people will follow by precept, follow by instruction. It means to make somebody a student or a disciple. That's the word they teach. Matheteo, right, is a word that means to train people, to teach. People will follow by precepts, by examples, by instructions. Are we together? And I hope you know that training, I hope you know that the fact that you are seated right in front of me is part of the training. Are we together? You know there's a teaching and there's a training. You know you can teach without training. Is that correct? You can teach without training. But you can't train without teaching. You get the point? Training will involve teaching. But training is more than teaching alone, right? So that's why when we come together, right, do not despise our coming together, because in our coming together, it's part of the training, yeah? It's part of the commitment you make that you see, we see ourselves all together, right? So he says, so to train people means you are deliberately showing by examples. Excuse me. Showing by examples. You know, there's something called, I was hearing Pastor Shegun giving an example about a conference in his school. His alumni secondary school group mates, you know, and they came together and they had a meeting, they had a fellowship, they had a conference or something. And in that conference, the generator stopped working, right? And all the people in that conference studied mechanical engineering. Everybody in the conference, they graduates, both BSc, MSc, mechanical engineering, right? Gen stopped working. Nobody could fix the gen. They had to go and look for what? Mechanic. Imagine mechanical engineer going to look for mechanic. He said, no, you know, we don't. Why do you think a lot of people end up that way? It is because a lot of times what we do in school is teaching, not training. Are you with me? Yes, it is teaching, not training. Are we together? Right? Imagine you are in a flight, right? And something happens to the pilot and he just sleeps. You know, he just decides to be on his own. Right? And someone else say, is there any pilot here? You now raise up your shoulder. I am. Right? Could you come and take over the cockpit? You say, right? Or you just quickly enter the cockpit and close the door and come and tell you. Let me not lie to you. He's teaching, they taught me, they didn't train me. Right? You know, you are better off not seeing that activity as a passenger in that plane. right? They should just be talking down it. Just know that somebody is in the cockpit, right? What am I saying? Yeah, there is such a thing called the training aspect of our faith. Are we together? There's a training aspect of our faith, right? So it means that you will be there. You will be there. You will be there. Just like a doctor. Imagine you have a family relative or a friend or a child or someone, your niece or someone who is your someone you're around who just goes to the hospital, runs them to the hospital. And they say, a lot of doctors are now around, but there's one doctor that is on ground, right? Okay, has he operated anybody before? No. Okay, but I shall go to housemanship. Say, no. From school, he came to the hospital. Will you submit yourself for them to operate on you? Yeah, just say, take the wheel, Lord. Yeah, you know, sometimes you rather believe in the surgery of the Holy Ghost, right, in a time like that, than to put yourself on the bed, right? Yeah, because that's why you see medical students, after they go to school for 5-6 years, I can't remember the number of years, they have something called what? Housemanship. Altogether, right? You see, if you have a friend or a colleague or a relative who studied law, it's not by finishing 5 years you say, the law. The law. Yeah, it is. That's why you see there's something called what? Law school. You know, if you train in the UK, right, and you did 4 years course in the UK, and you did law school in the UK, you can't practice in Nigeria. Is that correct? Yeah, because the constitution, everything is different. So there's something called law school in Africa. There's something law school in America. So you will go to the law school. In going there, they will do what? They will now train you. You know, it's one thing to sit in the class and they're telling you, you have the legal right. It's easy to say you have the legal right, Yeah? But when they ask you to go to the court, you say, My Lord, please. Please, my Lord. They say, come and defend the kind. They say, my Lord. Because the only thing you learn is my Lord. Yeah? Imagine your lawyer, everything they say, everything, my Lord, they know how to respond. You can't be saved there. Are we together? You know, some people, they ask the cars on their car. They don't run mad. Call a lawyer. They know what they are talking about. Oh, call a lawyer. Does not mean someone that went to law school for 5 years. Oh. It is called a lawyer. Someone who has been trained. He knows the work. Are we together? Not the one that can wear robe. Because, nowadays, people just like to wear robe. You wear somebody has not even finished the primary education. Yeah, you've already bought robe and bought wig. And you've gone to the studio, you snap, you already enter your house, you've already put the picture of yourself in robe, you've not done 200 level. Are we together? Yeah, that you won't say because you have the robe. I believe in you. It's not by believing in you. I believe in you. I just believe in you. I just have an aura of, I just believe that you are a law. Not lawyer, you are a law. You don't behave that way. Yeah, you only pick people who have, sometimes you want to pick a lawyer, you have to ask, how many cases have you won? Is that correct? Have you treated a case like this before? Yeah, there are lawyers that usually fight, they stole my chicken, they stole my goats. Yeah, there's a name they call it now. Okay. Yeah, there are people like that. Yeah. Once it's goats, they still just come to them, right? Somebody who has been doing goat, doing chicken, doing pigeon and pig, yeah? You now imagine somebody now scammed an oil company of a multi-million-dollar project. You know, there's something called hands-on. You see, and that's why I see there's something called internship. Is that correct? Yeah? People do internship. For instance, in engineering, is I think you're expected to do about 6 month internship across your 5 years. Yeah? You go to a place and go and observe. Imagine you are an intern and you are at home. Are we together? You know, people do it, right? And they'll just bring the document and say, sign for me. Right? Yeah? Yeah? What do you think, for instance, there's something from part of where I come from called National Youth Service. I'm always careful calling that word. Right? Yeah? I'm not third woman on my own. You shall get the point. NYC. Mm-hmm. You know what is done? You know why it is there? It's almost like an internship phase for you to have a taste of where you are going into. Is that correct? Yeah, because all the knowledge you learned in school, right? I remember one brother like this in my development there. So we bought a new lawnmower, right? So we bought a wireless one, a cordless one, and we had a former one. So the former one, when I bought it, you know, two years ago thereabout, I had not done internship, right? So I put on the wire, connected it to the extension box, I mounted it, right? As soon as I mounted it, I just pushed it forward. Before you know, I just said, "Ooh." What happened? The cable that was supposed to be pushing aside, the thing was under, so the thing just brand new. You know, I wish I bought it second hand. Brand new. I didn't even notice the cable had gone. I just started pushing it. It was here responding. I push it forward, I bring it back, I push it forward. I saw the cable is behind me. You know, so as an electronics engineer, what did I do? I did the security safety check. I removed from the wall. I moved it. I coupled the cable. It's working perfectly. You know? So I wanted to sell it recently when I bought a new one. I wanted to sell it just to give you a price. So the guy already came. As soon as I posted it on the channel, I'll be with you. Come. You know, as soon as I just said, let me just be a very pure, conscious person. Because is the thing working? Yes. The mistake I made, it was a good thing I did actually virtually, so I did not mark my name. Yeah? I said, you see, I just started speaking English. You see, the cable just moved. When I showed him the sellotape, the way he moved back, he said, sorry, he's not taking again. Sorry, so I'll just find another deal somewhere else. I'll just go somewhere. That's how he left it. From that day to today, it has been on that, but nobody has bought it. You know, so I was just saying that, imagine that thing spoiled. And I didn't know how to use sellotape. And I said, I studied electrical electronics engineering. All together. Should I even make it interesting? Me knowing how to repair and fix and lose and do all the time, I'm very hands-on, I'm a very DIY person, right, was not because of the school I went to. Do you understand? My friend is saying, it just made me think that, so I have some of my classmates who went to school together, that if that cable spoiled, they will actually take that machine and throw it away. Because when you look at the cost of someone, they will charge you to repair it. You don't know what they will call, right? So I'm trying to say that there is a part. So I remember, for instance, you know, in borrowing secondary school into early days university, we used to do physics practical. I don't know if you did physics practical, right? Yeah, when they would take you to the lab, right? And you must always write something. There's a statement you must know. Error due to parallax. Every project you do, even the one that has to do with water, there must be error due to parallax. Right? Yeah? But you know, in the lab, it makes it make sense to you. Right? They say if you combine this and combine that, it will give you this. That's head knowledge. You can know all the theory, but there's the practical. You see, that's what the church is. So the church is the theater room where we see the practicality of our Christian faith. Are we together? That's why you see, in the church, we do what? We see, we heal ourselves. Is that correct? We give a word of knowledge to ourselves. Yet we give a practical, right? So that when you are now in the real world, you will not be acting and be looking like someone who doesn't know what they are doing. So the church is God's theater space. It's God's theater provision for us, where we would need to ensure that we are present. We are present. We are present. One of the things that made me study electrical engineering was that every time anyone came to my house to repair anything, I was always there. Right, no matter what spoiled. So from very young age, before I became a teenager, I already knew what a distribution box was. I already knew what a circuit breaker was. I already knew the connection between a circuit breaker. I already knew feeder pillar. Do you understand? I had not gone to school. Oh, you're laughing. Yeah, I already knew all the dynamics behind, you know, electric. And so when I went to school, I was waiting for the time when someone would come and explain to me with physical things. You see, this is your distribution box. This is your this thing. And it never happened. Never happened. Yeah, even there was one of our lecturers then who was even kind enough to even teach us something little about programming. Yeah, we started learning about Arduino, right? You learn Arduino, Uno, Arduino, B2. I went for a competition like that too. Right, you know, but in the real sense, you will not find out that there is the hands-on and there's a theory. So when I'm teaching you, or when anyone is standing in front of you in the local channel teaching you, it's part of the training. But that you are seeing it. So you see, sometimes I teach and you see, I give a word of knowledge. Is that correct? Yeah, so it's making you see, oh, that's possible. That's feasible. Yeah, we have a believers meeting. You know that your believers meeting, I hope you know that sometimes your believers meeting, you learn from somebody in your group. Like, oh, I noticed this sister does not say this thing this way. I noticed this sister does not say, I was talking with a sister recently, a few days ago. You know, and she was saying that in the believers meeting, not here, right? So somebody had told her that, have you been trying to get a, have you been struggling to get a baby? Something like that, and he said, he just said, the girl or something like that is coming, right? Have you been trying to get a baby? I can't remember how they said it, but I looked at her and I said, oh, wow. Yeah, that person needs to mature. Yeah, the person has done well by being in the church. The person has done well by being in local assembly. But there are some things you don't just say that way. I've told you also, one of my friends, for instance, who was going to minister, right, to somebody in God's Palace, Nigeria, right? And how can you see a pregnant woman in front of you and say, I see stillbirths. You know what he's saying? What is stillbirth? No, you can't ask that kind of question like that. Somebody who's already 6-7 months pregnant. I had to now patiently, as a pastor, the person was an external person, I had to now patiently be with that sister, you know, encouraging her time to time, just to remind her that her baby, she has a baby right now, baby is almost 4. Altogether. But I'm trying to say there are some things you will say, but the only way you can learn it is in the theater of the church, right? So that kind of person, now, if that person is not in a local church, he will go and scatter family. Outside, that kind of person can go out now and go and see, right? And go and say, brother, I see the word brother, I see the word witch. Brother, I see wizard, I see witch. I don't know, what's the connection? Yeah? Yeah? Brother, I don't know, I'm not really sure, but I'm seeing brother, I'm seeing wizardry. I'm seeing flying at night. You see, people talk that way. It's in the church, so the theater room is where we correct. Yeah, you know, you can be in your lab, for instance, you want to pour chlorine inside peroxide or whatever combination you want to do, right? And somebody spots you from afar, say, stop! But imagine you are not in the room, you just say, you're a chemist. You're a chemist. You take a baker, right? You take it, titration funnel, you just mix it. Meanwhile, that combination is to explode. So that's what the local church is. So that kind of person now, what does the pastor do? The pastor says, no, don't say that kind of thing. Yeah. Now, could it be that they actually saw a stillbirth? Yes. Will you come and learn? You know, there are some things you come out and say straight. For instance, in the Bible, in the book of Acts, Acts 18 thereabout, right? It's when Agabus by the Spirit signified that there will be death, there will be famine in the land. I'm not saying that you will not say negative things. But do you see how that needed to be pronounced so that actions will be taken, right? For provision to be made. Right, but there's some things that I hope you know that you can go into a believer's meeting, and because of the immaturity of one of the persons there, you leave not being edified. You leave with so much concern. Yeah? So it's in local church to correct it. So I told the sister, the one who said someone told them that they saw them have a baby. You don't have to say in a believer's meeting, are you looking for a child? No. You know, in a believer's meeting, you can say, I see you have a daughter. And in that, you've communicated both the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. Are you here? You've communicated, I see you have a daughter. I did not say it next year. Either you are not looking now, or you've locked the womb now, or you are not making any attempt now. I have sure communicated that you're going to have a daughter. You know, there are words that are spoken to you this year. You won't see it until 2050. I hope you know. There are things that have been spoken about me 20 years ago. I'm just seeing them now. Right? So we need to learn how, and the best way to learn is in the local church. Are we together, right? You know, it's because you have a local church pastor. Because that lady had a local church pastor, that's why she could come and meet me and say, Pastor, see what this person said to me. Right? So imagine she was somebody who didn't have a local church pastor, right? And the brother met her randomly on the road. You can imagine the concerns that come to that, right? So when Jesus would teach them 40 days, it is to show them that there is something about physically being present. So what's the mission? The mission is go ye into all the world and preach the gospel and teach all nations. I would say the word they teach means to train people, right? To train people. That means you will instruct people. Now look at what it says in verse 20. It says, teaching them to observe. Now the word they observe means to pay attention to. That's the word observe in Matthew 28:20. It says observe there. It means to pay attention to attend to something carefully. To attend to something carefully. to observe carefully. Yeah, to observe carefully, to be deliberate, to pay attention to something, right? To intentionally concentrate on something. That means you avoid distractions. Your eyes are fixed. Altogether. So it says teaching them to observe. So are there things that need to be observed? Yes. You know, if you were to listen to me, for instance, on a podcast, your experience is not what you have when you listen to me physically. Altogether. Right? Your experience will not be the same. Right? So in listening to me, there are certain things you are observing. There are certain things you are seeing. There are certain things you are paying attention to. Right? So he says, teaching them to observe whatsoever things or all things whatsoever I have commanded you. So now, was the instruction to open churches? No. What's the instruction? Go into the world and what? Teach all nations. That is, make disciples. Is that correct? Can we say train people? So did Jesus instruct people to open churches? No. Did Jesus instruct people to train people? Yes. How will you train people when they come together? Are we together? Can we say a gathering? Can we say a fellowshipping? Right? So by default, in the instruction of training people, it means there's an instruction to gather people together. Are you with me? In the instruction to train people, there's an instruction to bring people together. Think about it. Imagine you had 10 disciples, just 10. And you had to teach each of them one after the other. So imagine Jesus had, how many people do you think were in Acts 1 to 4? Huh? Close to it? How many people do you think were in Acts chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, 4? You can't know from verse 1 to 3, really. Yeah, but you can know from verse 13. Yeah, you can know from verse 11, 12, 13. Right? They were, look at it. Go to Acts. Look at verse 15. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of disciples and said, what's in bracket there? The number and names together were about what? 120. So 120 people were praying in verse 15. They were the same people that were told to tarry from verse 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Right? That means they were the same people that Jesus spoke to in verse 1, 2, 3. Right? So how many people was Jesus preaching to at a time? About 120. Are we together? Imagine Jesus had to preach the same thing for 40 days to one person individually. How feasible would that be? Right? So, was Jesus doing the work of training? Yes. In the training, was there need for fellowshipping? Yes. So, there was a need for them to come together. Are we together? So, it means that in the instruction to train people, there is an instruction to what? To come together. So people keep asking questions. You know, you have people say things like, oh no, you know, we are just opening more churches. Churches are not the churches. We don't need more churches, we need more industries. Are we here? We don't need more churches, we need more men, we need more industrial work. But the truth remains, right? Yeah, we actually do need what? Churches. Why? Because the churches. Now, if you have a question on what is being done in the churches, that's different. But that what is being done should disqualify the need for churches is a false thing. Are we together? Right? So what is being done in the churches, yeah, you can say, people are just opening churches for themselves. You know, and a lot of times, you know, the easiest place to be a pastor is at the back of your screen. Back of your phone. The best pastors are on Twitter. The best. I'm telling you, excellent pastors are on Twitter. They know what pastors should not do. They know what the church should respond with. They know how the church should respond to. They know how the church should discipline. Yeah? So we find out that a lot of people have different dynamics as to how the church should grow. But the truth is that there's how the church should be from the scriptures. Right? Paul will say, the ground and pillar of truth. That's the church. So Jesus will say, go into the world and teach. That means train. So it means the more you keep having people to train, the more you should keep having the gathering or the clustering of people together. So you should be able to have 10 disciples, for instance, and say, what time works for you all so we can have a one-hour meeting every week? Or a 2 hours meeting every week? right? What are you doing? You are creating a cluster, you're creating a fellowship, right? And you are doing the will of the Father. So Jesus will teach for 40 days. He will train for 40 days, and he will expect that there will be a gathering together, coming together of people. So the evidences that we see in scriptures, right, or rather, let me say it differently. The examples we see in scriptures of the coming together of disciples is something we should emulate, or the coming together of people is something we should emulate. Right? So we need different gathering. I hope you know that it's God's desire that everywhere you look, there's a local church. And men are being what? Trained. Men have been trained. Men have been trained. Men have been trained. Men have been trained. That's very important. Very, very important. Are we together? So, what exactly should be the content of the training? I hope you know. When a church decides to say they want to tie a road, is that a good thing? When a church decides that they want to go to an orphanage home and feed all of them there, is that a good thing? When a church decides they want to go to the prison and they want to feed all the prisoners and give them new clothes, is that a good thing? Yeah? But is that the main thing? No, it's not the main thing. The main thing is the training of the Spirit that is required of them. A lot of times, you know, and let me say this to some of you who have that, you know, heart. It's a good thing. Yeah, some of us have the heart of, you know, going to orphanage homes, going to less privileged homes and giving and sharing cartons and doing all of those things and giving food out. It's beautiful. It's lovely. You know, but you've not as much done the most important. Because you can give someone rice today, or give someone beans tomorrow, or give someone pasta tomorrow, right? And the person doesn't believe the message of the gospel and something happens to them and they lose their life on the earth. They are not saved. Are we together? Right? So it means that we should always find a way to inculcate the message that we are to preach into those generous acts. So when you see somebody fighting, saying, "Ah, no, the church needs to be providing. Church needs to be providing." Can the church provide? Yes. Yeah, the church should provide. Yeah, I know you see sometimes the church, pastor comes with a lot of things. You know, I remember someone was asking a question. I remember just a couple years ago, like, how does the church determine? You know, people can ask different questions. How does the church determine how much they give so and so for whatever thing they are celebrating? Right? And you now begin to ask the question, wait, why are you thinking this way? So you find out that eventually people are asking this kind of question because they are taking care of themselves so they can budget. You know how you imagine you want to give birth to a child and you want to draw a list of things, things you want to do, and the first thing you do, you just at least church will sort out pram. Say they don't do much, the pram will be sorted, 100K. And church now decides to give you 10, I don't know the currency. Right? So that's why as a church, one of the things we end up doing is that we find in, so I remember I had to address this at the workers' meeting in Nigeria, which is what we brought into the UK as well, right? When we come together, we have people celebrating certain things, we have an amount per the face of the church. Are we together, right? As a last step, for instance, when people do something in Nigerian church, there's an amount we give everybody. Yeah? If you like, marry 4 wives one day. And you marry 1 wife one day. If you give birth to twins, or quadruplets, or one. Amen. It sounds funny. Yeah? Because I've seen some things, though, right? So last week, you know, on the pastorate group chat, you know, we were just talking about it, and mommy just suggested that, it looks like as a church, we're in a more stable place than we were 2 years ago. Can we increase what we give? Do you understand what I say? Yeah? I now give an instruction to their pastor there. Oh, this brother did this, that brother did this. Give them this amount. Going forward, that's what we'll be giving. Consistent. So now, what that does for us is that either you are a billionaire, you don't need our money, we give you. If you're a thousandaire, you need our money, we give you. Are we together? Right? Yeah, I'm trying to say that there are certain things that in the local church that you cannot afford to relegate the solution to some of those things to what the world is saying. I hope you know that somebody can look at, you know, you can tell somebody how much your church gave you for giving birth to 4 children. They say, all of them, and all of them are driving. No? All the contributor was £30, 30, 30, 30, 30. If I were you, let me not say more than that. You know, you already said a lot. If I were you, let me just say like that. But 30, are you to think it now? Yeah. So it's left for you to decide anything you want to say about what the church decides to give. Right? But we as a church, we've done our own part. Right? A thousandia, a millionia, a billionia, a trillionia, right? We'll call it. And if we give it to you and say you don't want, we'll ensure we give it to you in a way that you cannot reject it. So that if you want to give it back to church, initiate it. That's what I'm saying. Initiate it back to church. Right? Yeah, because eventually you're not here. Because some people will still come and tell you that you gave them, they didn't even send anything to you. Yeah, and you were married, no, nothing. Yeah, so I'm trying to say that when it comes to local church, you have different people who have different thoughts about how things go. But the Bible should set a template. So why did we pick a figure, for instance? It is because we as a church, we need to understand what phase are we in. You know, we're not among those who will say, we're going to give you back based on how you've been giving. You're laughing. Just say, Brother CJ, how much has he given since he has come? You know, his whole family, in a full year, £50. And want us to give them £500 for their wedding. No. In fact, Pastor Kaimu Vera said, just go to that and pray for him. Let him just speak some words over him and his family. Just speak some. The way he now comes to maybe Sister JT, he says, 15% of all she has given. Yeah? He says, just send it to her. Yeah, we can't afford to put ourselves in those very tight positions. So there are some things you will see happening in the church, and for some reasons, you have to just accept that that's what it is in the church. Yeah, because now why am I coming out this play with some of these examples? So it's part of the training. Yeah, because I expect that everybody who I'm pastoring today in the next few years should be doing active ministry such that you should be able to go and open up a branch for the church. Altogether, it's part of training. So if you go to a location and you're going to open a branch for the church, you should be able to know why we do certain things. It's part of the training. Yeah? It's part of the training. Why do we come to church and everybody is ready for the meeting? Everybody is. It's part of training. It's part of order. Yeah. Imagine we open a church somewhere, right, for instance, and one day I just appear in the church. And I just appear in the church 1 minute before the service starts. And I just walk in the church. They didn't know I was coming. I even wear face mask. I just see two brothers and sister. How's your week? Did you send that document? That would be strange. Why? Because there's a training we've seen. Yeah, you know, if we were to join online, some of you, when is even our online meeting? Yeah, some of you, it's 30 seconds to the end of the meeting you will join. Thank you, pastor. Thank you, pastor. Thank you. Oh, what a blessing pastor is. And you joined 1 minute to the end of the one. I've been shouting for 1 hour, 29 minutes, 35 seconds. You joined at the last, I said, thank you so much, sir. We love you too. All right, but you see, when we come, you see the art. Yeah, without giving an instruction, I don't think anybody who is in gospel should go and start a church or a fellowship anywhere. And once it's time for the meeting, you don't know to start the meeting. Yes, and you don't. You must know to start it. If you are meeting at 6 o'clock, at 6 o'clock you should be standing. The moment I come and I start hearing you say, "Let's come together," you are feeling. Are we here? Yeah? Let's come together now. You know, it happens. Let's come. I used to, as I say, let's go. There are people who want to finish the story they were talking. Let's come. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. That day, you in the wrong. Pastor, you. He says, it's okay now. You clap, clap. Give us some instruments. Yeah. It's part of the training. Yeah. Pastor Naka said something about the weekend. He said, I think he said it here as well. He said, Bible says that how God announced Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who went about doing good. He went everywhere doing good. And he said, don't you know that everywhere is literal? Eh? He went everywhere. That means Jesus was not resting as you expect rest. Right? So imagine they were not there to see his attitude. Imagine they were not there to see how they would come. The work we will find that the early church would have done would have been multiple of whatever they did. So training is very important. Right? So who are you? You're a man in Christ. Is that correct? 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. Right? Yeah? Every man in Christ is a new creature. It's a new creation. Right? What that just really means is a species that has never existed before. So it means that if you're a species that never existed before, it means that there is something about you. Right? There's something about you that is new. So he says, You go into all the world and preach the gospel. So what's your mission statement? You know, we'll find out that some people get it all mixed up. You know, I've heard people say different things. What is your purpose? Your purpose in life is that thing that you keep doing, that even if you're not paid for, you keep doing it. Have you heard people say these kind of things? That even if you're not being paid for, you keep doing it. Or if you had £1 million today or $1 million today, what's that thing you want to do? A lot of people is sleep. It's sleep. What's that one thing that you would do if you have $1 million? Let me ask you, true to yourself, forget no motivational speaker in front of you. Just be true. You have £1 million today. He says, I just like baking. I just like baking. I really just like, my passion is just, I like driving long distance. I like going for the long, anything 4 hours, I don't usually enjoy it. Once you start giving me 10 hours, I say, hey! You know, sometimes when you do some of those long journeys, it's because if you had money, you wouldn't do it. You know now. Eh? Look at me, I was traveling how many hours over the weekend. I was jump, dodging all the car, dodging all the portal. Eh? I tell me if I had one kind of money, I would not, you know now. Eh? So the truth now remains that a way to understand your purpose as a believer cannot necessarily be seen the way an average person will understand it. Yeah? So, your passion for anything must be seen on a different scale from your mission that God has for you, or for the vision that God has for you. Very important. Very important. Very, very important. So people are going to say, what's your passion in life? Your passion, I love playing with syringe. I feel like God is calling me into the medical. I remember there was a friend of mine, right? A very lovely friend of mine, actually. You know, this was 2018 or 2019, right? So she had finished studying one course in school, in American University. So I studied, something around bio something. Yeah. And when she finished that, yeah, she said that God is calling her to study medicine. Right, you know, the story is all complicated, but you know, I took almost 10, yeah, at 10 o'clock to 8. I took almost 10 to 8, 10 a.m. to 8 is how many hours? 10 hours, yeah, 10 hours plus. So I took over 10 hours to show her through scriptures that is just a desire she has and is not wrong. Altogether, you want to be a doctor, you're not wrong in that. But to say particularly that's what God's plan for your life is, it will be slightly different. Because I hope you know, there are certain things you can become in this life and it's only because you are privileged. I hope you know that. Yeah? There are certain things, yeah, that there are people who don't have the kind of exposure you had. It could be by parents, it could be by family, it could be by scholarship. Right? I hope you know not everybody will get scholarship. No matter how anointed you are as a pastor, if you lay hands on all your members, which school would they? How would they all get scholarship? How? Do you understand? Yeah. So there will be things that you will get by privilege. There will be those you don't deserve. But I hope you know it's not a way that gets the things that they don't deserve. Some people get what they deserve. When you see what they got, you deserve it. Because the way you were playing in school, you really deserve this score. Yeah, and the people, you see the way they play in school, and you're just like, why are you? You know, when you see people leave school, for instance, one of the things they want to do is always show off to themselves, right? You want to, I don't understand. It's just a subconscious thing. You want to just show people that. And that's why I see people trying to hustle or do things quick so that they can just prove a point. Just want to prove a point. Yeah, they call for get together, right? Your car, you ain't going to rent a car. Go and hire a car. See, that girl that was toasted, I said, there's no future in me. I don't understand that. The person that said there's no future in you, what is your reality now? That you have to go and rent a car. I didn't say more than that. You understand? Somebody said there's no future in you. Now the future has come. You don't even want, you understand? It's just an unnecessary. And one of the things I learned very early in life is not to put my confidence in the things I acquire or things I don't acquire. Yeah, because I've seen in life that there are things you acquire that can go out in a second. Oh, yeah, you can get right. There are things that you can acquire. I've seen people build for years and it takes a day and everything goes. You get the point? So you can't afford your confidence to be in that. right? You have to ensure that your mind is in the right place. So what is God's vision and mission for your life? It is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the vision. That's the mission. So if you like medicine, why are you in the hospital working? Going. So what is the world to you as a doctor? Hospital. Are we together? Are we together? What's the world to you as an engineer? Your site, wherever you go to. Yeah? So is there anybody in this plan, in this world, that God doesn't have a good vision for them? Not one. Right? So that's why he says you can give birth to triplets, and three of them don't want to become the same thing in life. One says, I want to be a lawyer. One says, I want to be a doctor. And I hope you know, the things that you want to be is just based on influence. From primary three, primary four, I've always wanted to be an electrical engineer, right? And it was simple, right? The few people who were around me who had access to probably in church and also some of my relatives, they were into electrical, electronics, engineering, right? And I just picked up the interest. But today, I'm not even practicing it. So I'm trying to say that some years ago, I could have boasted to myself, I said, that's the calling God has for me. Yeah, that's the calling. But it's wise for me to realize that I'm into my field today. I can change that tomorrow. I hope you know, I can even decide not to change it tomorrow, but life will make me change it tomorrow. You know now? You can be in a field. You don't plan to change, but life will have to change it for you. Yeah, well, I'm a consultant. I'm into consultancy. Life can get to you that they will have to... They have to consult the oracles for your sake. Yeah, it's just life. And you see, why am I saying this to you this way? Is I want you to be able to get to a place where you accept it early. You see, let me tell you something. You know, I always say, my family, my siblings, my mom, and my wife, and everyone around me who knows me very closely, they always say that they don't know when things go south for me, right? Yeah, when things go whatever way it goes. And you know why it's that way? I have programmed my mind to accept that there are things that can happen beyond my control. So why do I put my joy on the things that can change? And the change is not even based on me. It means that I'm saying you can do all your best. Let me say your very best. And somebody will just wake up and just say, I don't like people that don't like this profession. Right? And what happens? Everything just changes. So one of the things you want to learn in life is know what is that thing that should not stop going on, regardless of what life brings your way. It is that which God has called you to do. He says, go into the world and what? Make disciples. Make disciples. So when life is going well for you, make disciples. When life is not going as well for you, there is no point coming to church to promise people that this year everything must go well for you. No. Can we wish for that to happen? Yeah. Does that mean we will not stop saying things like that? No, we won't stop. We'll keep saying things like that. I'm saying somewhere your mind should be able to understand that there are things. Yeah. Some of us, 10 years ago, 15 years ago, compared to where we are now, this is not where we saw ourselves. Some of us thought that by 2025, that year 2025, I see is a bright year. Yeah. I should be on a ferry. Okay, you saw yourself on the ferry. Okay, yeah, I should be on the ferry with my leg crossed, with sun kissing me. Yeah, sun will just kiss me, and I'll just hold my bottle of cucumber water. Yeah, cucumber water. Yeah, until one day they just tap you. I say, "Will you come and wake up?" You know, I realize that. Yeah, have you submitted your documents? Have you submitted the document? Will you come up and they change it for you? You know, I say, if not because this life is not fair. I'm trying to say, from the 10 years ago, you're supposed to know that life is not as fair. Yeah? Do you believe and expect the best? Yes. Do you trust? See, let me tell you something. Never at a point in your life be a pessimistic person. Never. Let life meet you with a lot of optimism. I'm optimistic my tomorrow is better. The coming days are better. The coming days are, that's my assurance. Yeah? The coming days are better. I'm rest assured the coming days are better. I'm rest assured that there are lots of things that God is doing behind the scene. I'm rest assured that I'm going to experience supernatural help. I'm rest assured I'm going to experience favor. I'm rest assured But in the real sense, you must understand that no matter what life brings your way, there is one thing that should be constant. One thing should be constant. What is your conviction about the mission God has given you? What is your understanding about the mission God has given you? What has God called you to do? And so you think called the judgment seat of God, right? Judgment throne, right? And you will go there and you will stand before the audience of one. And the question will be, what did you do with what I asked you to do? I hope you know, you can end up being the richest man in the world, right? And the moment you cannot answer that simple question, is as good as you failed. What have you done? You know the song we sang today? Very blessed song, right? Yeah, I've stepped into your word. I've looked into your heart. All I see is your what? Your love. What is the love about? Your love for what? For every, your plan for every man. I see what? I see your spirit moving all over the earth, causing men to what? Worship you. Every tribe and tongue declaring you are God. Is that correct? Yeah? The cross now says, you gave us your very best. Yeah? What is the very best in the song? You gave your very best. You gave your spirit to reach the world. So why, you know what Pastor was teaching in the time of refreshing? Why did God give you his spirit? Why is there forgiveness of sin so you can reach the world? What is the essence of God's spirit in you? It is for you to reach the world. A lot of us use the intuition and imagination and everything about the spirit to do everything else apart from that which he has access to do. So someone says, you gave your very best. You gave your spirit. You gave your very best so we can reach the world. So we can reach the world. So what does God expect to happen through you? Reaching the world. Reaching the world. Reaching the world. Is it good to be able to by God's spirit, know the road not to go to? Yes. Is it good for you to know by God's spirit, to know the day not to go to work physically? Yes, you can. Is it good by God's spirit to know, you know, the relationship you should build and the relationship, the boss you should enter? Yes, you can. But see, that's not the very essence of the spirit. The very essence of the spirit is to do his mission on the earth. Right? So what must you always see yourself as every morning? You must see yourself as one who is on a mission. Are we together? You must see yourself as a man who is on a mission. What is the mission? That you are reaching dark places. So it means don't always wait for evangelism day before you do your mission. Some of us just program our mind and say, don't worry, I'll preach when we go. No, no, no. You can find yourself on the bus. You can find yourself on the plane and just share the message of the gospel. You can find yourself anywhere anywhere really you are and just share the message of the gospel. In doing that, you are doing his mission. You are doing his will on the earth. So God can look at you and say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Altogether. So what are you doing with the Spirit of God in you? That's the question I'm going to leave you with this evening. What are you doing with it? What are you doing? The Bible says, going therefore into the world and preach the gospel. That is, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the reason for God's Spirit on our inside is to what? To reach the world. To reach the world. Yeah? To reach the world. Yeah? Like we saw during times of refreshing, right? There is the message of the forgiveness of sins that comes with what? The baptism of the Holy Ghost. What's the reason for the baptism of the Holy Ghost? To reach the world. To do his vision. So what is the church? I hope you know, the words of knowledge, the words of the gifts of healing and all of those things, once we experience them in the church, they are for outside. You know that, right? You know that if you come to the church, for instance, and there's no word of knowledge given to you, right? And there's nothing that ministers to you based on supernatural, I hope you know you are saved. And I hope you know that if you listen to the word, you will grow. But what are those supernatural experiences for? It is so that you can meet someone randomly on the road, right? You know, those experiences, they come in very handy, yeah? A lot of times, more often than not, I always find out that one of the ways I break through people when I go through for evangelism, right, is through supernatural encounters, supernatural utterances. Altogether, right, there was a guy in Waverly, for instance, he's from India, right? You know, and I was talking to him, and you know, and he was just trying to wait for his train, and was just being reluctant and everything. I just said, oh, I see your mom, and I mentioned the name of the city the mom was in, and I saw something about the leg. So he moved back and he was like, ah. And I said, I saw you came for an exam. And I saw that you're trying to, I think it was about, I saw him tearing hearts. So apparently he traveled from Aberdeen, came to Edinburgh for one special exam like that. I can't remember the name of the exam he came for. That was what broke his back and made him listen to me. I was together. I remember I've had experiences, for instance, there's a lady, for instance, who, you know, I always tell you examples. I've had examples of when I want to preach to people and they said, no, no, no. I remember there was one who was saying, can you be on the move with me? Hey, what's my leg for? As you're on the move, we're on the move. We have the Holy Ghost, right? It was the moment I gave a word of knowledge, bam! And she just stopped, right? That's the work of the Spirit. altogether. That's the work of the Spirit. That's why we have the Spirit of God on our inside. Right? You know, small things we see as a ministry, for instance, or as a life. Someone was asking me, I think a few nights ago, I said, why don't you all go out and, you know, make this thing? And I'm like, the truth is that a lot of times, one of the things that you must always do for yourself is to know yourself. You know, there are some things you know that will get into your head. I hope you know, there are some things you know that it will get into your head. It will get into your head. Right? There's some things you just don't like. Even knowledge, it happens that way as well. There's some things you will know from God's word and you just start feeling very puffed up. But see, the more you learn God's word, it should be piercing all those your egocentric shoulders. It should make you be more simple. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. All about Jesus. So one of the things we're going to experience in the coming days will be much more men paying more attention to his mission. Hallelujah. Yeah, much more men paying more attention to his mission. Where you see people leaving their comfort zone, right? And you will go out just because you know you are a man on a mission. Say, I'm a man on a mission. Say, I'm a man on a mission. Are we here? Say, I'm a man on a mission. Say, I'm deliberate. Say, I preach the gospel. You see, the truth is that, is it good to share coffee on the road and give cookies? It's good. Is it good to put a stand and put music and disturb the whole neighborhood and people will be dancing in the middle and be jumping and... I never say that one is good self. I'm trying to say that there are lots of activities that we try to relegate ourselves to because we've not paid attention to the indwelling spirit and what we can do with the spirit. What about, I see a time, for instance, as a church, where we'll go to the streets or one of the center streets, I'll put a microphone and a speaker beside. And somebody is holding the mic and giving a word of knowledge. There's somebody you are walking around here. Yeah? Your mother's name is this. Do you understand what I'm saying? What about that? Yeah, your mother's name. In fact, right now you are trying to catch bus 37. What about that? Yeah, and the person starts saying, it's not me. You now give another one. The cat in your house, yeah, is trying to jump the. Why can't we have those kind of supernatural experiences? Is it good to do coffee? It's good. You know, I feel like I want substance. Everybody can give coffee. People that are worshiping whatever God can do coffee. So why don't we have something that they don't have? Yeah. So those are the kind of things you want to. So some days, and I'm going to give that an instruction to you today. There are some of you who I can sense by the Spirit. There are certain things you're supposed to have ministered to people randomly, but you've shielded yourself away from it. You sat beside someone on the train and you knew their name supernaturally. Yeah? Yeah. You know, this one is not gospel last night before. Somebody can help me cover up. You know, this one is not gospel last night. Let me knock my talk to one now. They come and arrest me. The question is, how many people have you seen that have been arrested for the gospel? First of all, answer that question, no. But the question, much more than that, is even if they arrest you and so, you know, that might be the mindset you must have. You know, I'm not saying you should go and be looking for. I'm not going to look for people and come looking for trouble. Yeah? No, you're not looking for trouble. You just reached out to somebody and just gave a word of knowledge. Right? I understand that some people ask, I say, word of knowledge, and because people might think you are spooky or you are spying them. No, at least do it first. Yeah? I've been doing this word of knowledge thing, ministering to people strangely on the road for many years now in the road. Nobody has arrested me. The day somebody fainted in my office, I went to go and lay out on the person. Why did they arrest me? As she came back, okay, because she came back. So I said, imagine if I laid that, she now became worse. They would say, what did you do to our staff? I mean, they now catch me on camera. Yeah? But see, you must not allow those negative things be on your mind. The question is, are there not times you give word of knowledge and they're accurate? You know, you have now. Right? So what about paying more attention to that? Yeah? You can meet people. Right, I've seen people randomly, right? I'll just meet them and I'll just say this. I just see them literally turn red. Like, how did you know that? How did you know that? It's just by the power of the Holy Ghost, right? And what do? You preach the gospel. Yeah? We need much more of that. Yes, say, I'm a man on mission. Say, I'm a man on a mission. Say, I will yield much more to the Holy Ghost.